Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, it is. Grant Paulson solo, G&D on the fan. Danny's vacation is underway. But that doesn't mean we can't get the latest on training camp with our buddy Logan Paulson. By the way, if you missed Ryan Kerrigan just a few minutes ago talking about his retirement and wanting to get into coaching, go grab the podcast, thefandc.com, or rewind on the Odyssey app. Logan, it is so good to have you back on the hotline. Have you ever ice skated before?
No, man, I haven't ice skated in a long, long time, so I don't know how good I'd be at it, but I appreciate you having me on. Thanks, man.
It is great to have you on this here program. Looking forward to seeing you again soon out at the facility. All right, let's just start breaking down this roster. I want to go round and around with you on a camp so far. My first question, I guess we'll start in your room, the tight end room. What do we like so far? What don't we like? We got a couple guys banged up right now. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, the tight end room, even without Logan Thomas out there and without Bates, basically some type of calf injury, those three young guys, you know, Hodges, Cole Turner, and Armani Rogers have looked very, very good. I mean, I would say Cole Turner has been like the maybe second most dynamic offensive weapon out there, which is saying something that's very exciting. And I think, hang on one second.
I will hang on one second.
Hello? There we go.
All right.
Sorry, we're back. Sorry about that.
You're good.
And, you know, obviously having that dynamic weapon up there is pretty exciting. And then I think, you know, Armani Rogers is a guy that's getting a lot of love, you know, former converted quarterback, and has really done a nice job of kind of falling in the tight end role. And Chris Hodges has, you know, kind of been that blocking wire for them, which is very, very exciting. So that group of three guys is very, very cool. And unfortunately, Cole hurt his hamstring today. But, man, there is a lot to be excited about in that room specifically.
Why do you like Curtis Hodges so much? I know you were high on him when they first brought him in, and we've talked about him a couple times. He's massive, by the way. He's like close to 6'8", I think, and 240 pounds. But you're really in on this guy from Arizona State.
Yeah, and I mean, I think because he had a shot to make the roster, and this was before, you know, just watching his college tape, he's a guy who's a converted wide receiver. So he does run routes like a receiver. He has kind of like a nice fluidity to his movement. He gets in and out of breaks very nicely for a man of his size. Obviously, doesn't have that blazing speed, but from a craftiness route running standpoint, I think shows a lot of ability. And obviously that size, he's kind of always open. You know, on last Saturday in the red zone period, made an outstanding catch in the red zone, jumping over a linebacker to make the catch. Hasn't had a lot of targets recently, but again, showing some of that route running ability. He's really, really shined the last couple of days, short yardage, goal line periods in the run game, which is something that I wasn't expecting to see from him, given his receiver background. So a guy that I think has a very, very good shot to make the team. And again, very excited about him. And you mentioned Cole Turner does an excellent job of, you know, like he's just been kind of the guy in that room at the moment. So, you know, as much as I like Curtis Hodges, Cole Turner's kind of been making all these catches, making all these plays, getting open in a dynamic way. And that's always fun to see, too, because he's also a big man, about 6'7". So,
yeah, I'm really excited about Cole Turner. I predicted he'd be huge in the red zone this year, and it sounds like maybe 20-20 he'll make an impact as well, which maybe I undersold him a little bit. All right, let's move to wide receivers with Logan Paulson then as we break down what he's seen at practice so far. So Terry McLaurin's going to be the 17 that we know and love. I'm just going to kind of separate him as a known commodity. How about Jahan Dotson so far? What do you see?
You know, like I said, Cole Turner's probably the second most valuable weapon at camp. You know, it's second 1A, 1B to kind of McKissick. But Jahan Dotson, I think, has been number one. He's been a guy who's made explosive plays every day. You know, pretty much every day they'd have a red zone period. He scored a touchdown, kind of a big dynamic touchdown, good catches. And a guy who can win in man-to-man situations. I will say the windows, the coverage has been much, much better kind of as compared to OTAs. Like the back end has done a really nice job mitigating the effectiveness of that receiver group. You know, and a lot of people have talked about Carson Wentz's struggles. But I think the secondary has done a nice job. You know, in the OTAs, Jahan was running kind of wide open. Now it's a little bit more challenging, right? He's got to work a little bit harder to get that done. You know, Terry, you said we're going to gloss over him, but he's been very quiet in OTAs. Kendall Fuller has done an outstanding job in their one-on-one matchup. So, you know, that group in the back end's done an excellent job of keeping the receivers relatively quiet, quite frankly. And that's why other position groups have stood out offensively, tight ends, running backs.
Curtis Samuel is still not at a point where you can practice regularly. I mean, I want you to tap into, like, the player portion of your analytical abilities here, because guys like me, at some point we just get over whatever this is. And I don't trust what I hear constantly. When last year you told me something all year long, Ron Rivera saying, oh, it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal. And now they're going, this is the plan, this is the plan, just believe us. So there's a growing frustration here. I mean, what do you make of him and his inability over a year removed from surgery and, you know, starting the offseason supposedly completely healthy, that he still just can't go out and regularly practice?
You know, the adductor is a notoriously difficult injury to kind of rehab and come back from. It does a lot in terms of kind of how your hip functions. So for a guy who's got the movement skills of Curtis, it's going to flare up, I think, in multiple situations. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but again, they have a history of lingering, even kind of mild issues with the adductor. So, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm a little surprised that there seems to be kind of some lingering concern about the injury, something that kind of was a year removed. You know, he's kind of been recovering from this for a year. So the fact that they've got him in a protocol, he's not practicing, and it's not like he's out there, but he's on the injured field, right? And so usually if somebody's kind of on a pitch count, like Antonio Gibson had some cramping issues earlier in training camp, he still does team periods. He still comes out. They just kind of monitor how much he's actually doing. Charles Leno, kind of same thing, older player, pitch count. He's doing practice, but they kind of restrict what he does and how often he does it. So I would expect if there was a concern about the injury, something more akin to that as opposed to being totally removed from practice.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. That's a good way to put it. Logan Paulson here on G&D. All right, let's go running backs then. So Gibson put a couple balls on the carpet today. Maybe one of them was on an exchange more that was on him, but at least he's back practicing regularly. I always say what teams do, not what they say, kind of tells you what they think. And they were desperate to keep J.D. McKissic from Buffalo, and then they drafted Brian Robinson in the third round. So that tells me a lot about kind of putting some pressure on Gibson. Not to mention he lost a bunch of weight, which tells you they told him they had some high expectations of what they wanted him to do this offseason. So let's just get into that running back room.
Yeah, I think the running back room is a really interesting one. You mentioned that they've kind of, kept McKissic. They've brought in Robinson. I'm not sure that's to put pressure on Gibson necessarily. I think when you look at McKissick's skill set, he is a very unique talent in terms of what he brings to the running back room, like throughout the NFL. Like, he is a mismatch machine, and he's a guy that can beat a linebacker 1-on-1, beat a safety 1-on-1. In certain situations, beat a corner 1-on-1, and having that kind of ace in a hole, kind of your Jordan Reed of the running back room, a guy who can win on choices, win on jerk routes, win on option routes, I think that is a tremendous skill set to have. So, you know, you want to bring that guy back, especially with the direction the NFL is going, this pass-first philosophy, especially having all these offensive weapons. You want to spread guys out. He's another piece of that. So I think that was just a smart move. I don't think that's any reflection on Gibson necessarily. And then Robinson, I think you bring him in here because he's got a unique skill set, something that complements what Gibson does already. I think Gibson's a very explosive player. He's a big play waiting to happen. And Robinson's kind of, I don't want to say the opposite of that, but he's much more traditional back. He's got outstanding footwork that was on full display today, able to kind of find creases, find holes, not necessarily bowling people over, but again, outstanding footwork, outstanding vision, understanding how to set up blocks, and is really going to complement what Gibson does. Because like I said, Gibson has shown that explosive ability in training camp, you know, running routes from outside, doing some different things. And I think it just is a piece that allows you to be more flexible. And it's something that was a hole, I think, you know, kind of a glaring hole when Gibson wasn't at his best. This offense wasn't at its best. So now having a person, a piece, that can come in and kind of fill that room out, I think is really, really nice with Robinson.
You mentioned Wentz's struggles. They've gotten a lot of attention. I mean, you're there, you're watching. You've been around for years in this league. Does it matter that he's scuffling? Are you nervous at all with anything that you're seeing?
I think as camp goes on, like that, that his performance is moving up my list of concerns, and it's starting to near kind of the number one, the most important thing. And, you know, I think that's totally reasonable because, you know, this offense is going to go as he goes. As much as Scott Turner can call a perfect game plan, as much as the offensive line can block perfectly, if he's not playing well, you know, this offense isn't going to play well. And that's just kind of the nature of the quarterback position in this era of football. So I think that, you know, he's struggled a little bit with inaccuracies. He's yet to kind of make a connection, seemingly, with Terry McLaurin. He's made some bad missed throws. I want to say 4 or 5 days ago, had a really rough day at practice. They've kind of come back. He's come back a little bit. But again, those inconsistencies, those inaccuracies are there. And I think as a fan of football and as a fan of analytics, I was hoping that even if potentially he was going to kind of, you know, be more turnover prone or be less accurate, they'd always be able to kind of put their head down on the pillow and say, well, we have this big playability in the hole. And quite frankly, he hasn't shown that ability just yet. So I think the thing that I was expecting to see hasn't really showed up yet, even though like the player that he was in Indianapolis is here now. He, you know, the inaccuracies, the inconsistencies, all those things showed up in Indy, but there was always that big play kind of looming, and that just hasn't shown up yet. So that's something that is slightly concerning, and I think it's going to be more concerning if it, the longer it takes to show up, because quite frankly, if you don't do it in practice, I don't have a lot of high level of confidence you're going to be able to do it in the game. So I look at guys who've made plays, Cole Turner, Brian Robinson, Jahan Dotson. I trust that they can get it done, and right now Carson hasn't shown that. So my concern is mounting, but I don't think it's time to burn the boats yet. I think we'll be okay. Still a lot of training camp left.
Totally. And I was kind of not dismissing the idea that he struggled, because it's a reality, but my take was I'm more Allen Iverson, I guess, saying it's just practice right. than I am something else, where you're running around and sounding the bugles and beating the drums, or as you like to say, burning the boats, because to me, I'm a sample size guy. I don't care if it's games. Yeah. A couple weeks of anything, I'm not going to panic. But it is moderately problematic when it confirms some priors. And some of the issues that you're having are things that I evaluated as problems coming into this. You know, so that that then starts to worry me. I don't even know if it's fair, but I'm just trying to contextualize this, right? Because a lot of us aren't seeing the practices. How would you grade his camp, like A to F, just his performance in general, if you're even comfortable doing that?
You know, I hate grading because I don't know the exact progressions and the exact reads. But, you know, just to give you some context, I would have given his OTA period an A+. I mean, it was one of the best OTA periods that I'd been exposed to, you know, playing 10 years in the NFL, talking to guys. Like, it was very, very clean, very, very sharp. And then this, I'd say, it's been a regression a little bit. So I'd say, you know, over the first couple of days, I'd give him a C, probably. Maybe, yeah, I feel comfortable. C plus-ish, right? So, again, like, very average, and I think there's room for improvement, to be sure. And, you know, like, today he did some good things. He, you know, he looked very confident. And another thing, too, is, you know, I think his regression kind of coincides with how good the defense has looked. I mean, the defense, especially in the back end, looks like a completely different group from last year. So, as much as he struggled, I think that I think you need to give the defense their flowers and say, man, good on you. You've put them in bind. You've made the windows tight. You've brought pressure packages that challenge the offensive line, and the offensive line's improved the protections when the pads come on. I think that's been well documented so far. But again, that defense has looked very, very sharp over the first couple of days of training camp.
Who on that defense would you single out if you've jotted down in your notebook the most?
Oh, man, I think that's tough. I think the guy that kind of sticks out to me the most just because of what he's done to Terry is Kendall Fuller. I mean, he's looked very, very sharp in terms of his ability to kind of match concepts, anticipate concepts. His footwork's been on point. He just looked very competitive, like a guy who's very motivated. Another guy who sticks out pretty dramatically is Daron Payne. I mean, I want to say for the first 5 or 6 days, he looked like a man on a mission. And quite frankly, he is on a mission. He wants to get paid. So I think those two guys have stuck out pretty dramatically. Cam Curl has been Mr. Consistent Steady Eddie. And a guy that I think deserves a shout-out is William Jackson III. Like, he looks much more confident, much more comfortable in the defense. He's passing off concepts well. He's understanding how he fits in the zone philosophy of Jack Del Rio's defense. And I think he deserves a ton of credit, because there were times during OTAs, there were times last year where I was like, man, this guy is really, really struggling. And that seems to be, you know, kind of a thing of the past. And obviously, like you said, you can't take too much stock in a very short sample size, but he's looked very, very sharp. You know, some guys, some maybe lesser known names like Casey Two Hills looked sharp. James Smith Williams, when he was practicing, looked very good too, as a guy's kind of replacing Chase Young. Montez has looked dominant at points, you know, like when he wants to, like he's dang near unblockable. So, you know, that whole defensive group has just really stood out in a dramatic way, but specifically the back end.
And you see why there's nobody I like talking ball with more than Logan Paulson. awesome info. Really, really good to get everyone up to speed on some of what you've seen and kind of empty the notebook from practices. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Grant. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, be well. There's Logan Paulson on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. As promised, I told you we'd kick off this hour by giving away Kid Rock and Foreigner tickets. So let's go caller 15 right now at 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair of tickets to Kid Rock with Foreigner, the Bad Reputation Tour, Jiffy Lube Live, August 26th, 2022, courtesy of Live Nation. 3 weeks from today is the show. Buy your tickets now at livenation.com. You hear Logan again, though. We just talked about this about an hour ago, saying that Wentz is doing some things that give him some concern. His quote there was, as camp goes on, his performance is moving up my list of concerns. That's revealing. I want to get into that next here on The Fan. Still got to talk Antonio Gibson and the running backs as well on G&D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.